Good morning. Welcome to Faith Community United Methodist Church. I am Pastor Jeff Bandy. I have been absent, but I have returned. It's good to be with you on this beautiful day. And as I guess you noticed last week, we are in between things. But we are right at that cusp of the changing of the seasons from one calendar year in the Christian year to the next. So next week will be Advent, so don't forget that Advent is beginning, but we have this week to get through for our Thanksgiving, and this is Christ the King Sunday. It's the end of the Christian calendar year. Let's turn to our announcements. We have quite a few I want to get through this morning. Those that are listed, I'll go through those first. We have a special offering today, and you should have those, notice those in your what you were given on the way in. This is one of the six special Sunday offerings that the larger connection of the United Methodist Church holds. And this particular one is for the United Methodist students, and it's for having scholarship funds for college-age students that are United Methodist. So if you have any college-age students, you can go and apply for these. It doesn't mean everybody gets one, but you have the opportunity to apply for those scholarships. As we take those offerings, it makes our students available to those scholarships. So I encourage you to give to that today. Also, I noticed that our St. Paul's Christmas tree still has a lot of things on it. So before you go out, make sure you grab a couple of those, and because they're due next week. So let's see what we can do to make that a good Christmas there. Also next Sunday, being the beginning of our Advent season, Stephen Ministries is going to be helping out with the service, and since the first Sunday is about hope, they talked about wanting to provide that service with that as the intent to dare us to hope. So we'll appreciate what they'll bring to us next Sunday. And then that afternoon or early evening, I guess evening 5 to 7, we'll be gathering for carols and cookies in the fellowship hall as the congregation to start celebrating that season. And I just want to mention the community concert as well on December 8th. It is a blessing that we have to host this community concert. We appreciate Glenn's leadership in that, and being part of this congregation, he's able to share those gifts with our community. Also wanted to note, reminded the office is closed for Thanksgiving and the day after. Just so make sure if you have anything for the office early in the week. And then this is a plea from our casserole caravan. We need some folks to help out with that. There's a lot of folks that usually help with that are away for the season, for the winter season. So if you would be willing to help along with creating some meals for folks, please see Julie after the service and let her know that you're willing to be able to do that. We need some assistance right away if that is possible. With that, let us prepare for worship.
Please stand as you are able for our call to worship. It is printed in your bulletin and also on the screens. Christ came to be our King.
We have come to be Christ's people.
The King of Kings calls us to follow him. Christ came to be our King.
We have come to be Christ's people.
And our opening hymn is This is the Feast of Victory, and we will be singing verses 1, 2, and 4. You may be seated. And if you will please join me in today's opening prayer. We come this day rejoicing in the presence of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. At his birth, the angels proclaimed his name to be Emmanuel, God with us. Today, in this place, in this time of worship, may we truly feel the power and presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. May our hearts and spirits be warm and challenged to proclaim with our lives, Christ is Lord. Amen. And if I could have the children come forward for a quickie children's sermon. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, guys, have a question for you. What in the world is going to happen on Thursday? Thanksgiving.
Really?
You've got it, absolutely. But this year, for Thanksgiving, I want to challenge you and you and you and you to all do things a little bit differently. So whether, when you're ready to eat Thanksgiving, your Thanksgiving meal, whether you go through like a line and, you know, dip it up, or you're sitting and you pass the serving dishes around, my challenge is that every single time you put something new on your plate, you say a little thank you to God for something special in your life, something you're thankful for. All right, so we're going to have a little practice right now. So I'm going to ask you to tell me something you're excited to have on your Thanksgiving plate, and then tell me something you're thankful for. So we're going to start with Pastor here. What's something you're wanting on your Thanksgiving plate?
I am going to say deviled eggs.
When you put those, are you just going to get one or two?
Or three. Depending on how much other people eat.
Okay. What are you going to be thankful for when you put that deviled egg on your plate?
For all the provisions that God provides.
Wonderful. Very good. Do I have a volunteer for next? Lukey?
Mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes. And do you put gravy on top of it too? So guess what? You got to give me two. What's two things? Mashed potatoes and gravy. What's two things you're excited, you're thankful for?
I'm thankful for shelter and clothing.
Shelter and clothing. Very good. All right. Who's next? Anybody? Anybody want to volunteer?
Is anybody going to eat on Thursday?
Yeah. Karen Joy.
I am thankful for the good bread that we eat. Oh, so I'm going to put bread on my plate. Can I be thankful for the bread too? No. Yeah. And just butter. I am thankful this time of year for basketball and also time with my family.
And let's do one more. Wonderful.
I'm thankful for the dressing that goes with that turkey. And I'm thankful for my health.
So that's the challenge this week, guys. That's the challenge. When you fill your Thanksgiving plates, and what a blessing if we're able to do that, every new thing you put on it, and if you get seconds, and if you get desserts, and another dessert.
I have a question of clarity. So if it takes me three scoops to get the mashed potatoes, is that three? That's only one. You said every new thing. Just want to make sure we're thankful in there right now.
I think that you have expressed exactly what we need. We need to be as thankful as possible on Thanksgiving.
Very
so
good.
Three scoops equals three. So if everybody can do that, we can remember to thank God for those things that we're so thankful for. All right, let's close with a short prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for these children, and thank you for Thanksgiving, an opportunity for us to be thankful and to be gracious for all the things you've blessed us with. Amen. And I believe there is a hymn next, and I don't have... Oh, no, I do. I brought it. It is Come Ye Thankful People, Come, and we're going to be doing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Let's go for our Lord as we are being thankful this day. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you on this day with our hearts set on thanksgiving. Not just a day around the table with plentiful food, but Lord, a day of thanks. A day where we take a moment or two just to turn our attention to all that you have provided, to all that you are, and to all that we have become in you. So Lord, on this day, we thank you for this, how you are interactive in our lives, how you meet us where we are, how your concern is for us. And Lord, as we understand this, we also look beyond ourselves and we see how there are so many things around the world that we can see others that are experiencing that we want to keep in concern. We are thankful that you are active in all the world, that you have sent missionaries to all different parts of the world to let them know about you. We are thankful for your presence everywhere. Lord, as we gather with our families, may we also be thankful for how our families have been there for us, how they're the ones that we can turn to. And Lord, remind us how we can be there for them. Lord, there are those that are around us who are not coming to a table. Help us to be mindful. Lord, we know that this church has provided in so many different ways for this community. We are grateful that you have called us to this work. And Lord, we ask that those that are looking for a meal, they will be directed to where they can find one. Maybe it is our own home. Help us to be that open to you, Lord, for you to guide us in all ways that we may be able to extend your love in ways that we haven't before. Lord, because of our gratitude of you in our lives, may we truly be able to have that kind of hospitality. Help us, Lord, to be the love in the world, just as your Son came to do that for us. And let us now share together the prayer that Jesus did teach us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we turn to our offerings today, reminder of the special offering as well as our regular giving this day, that we have been provided for. We have been given so much, and it's just a portion that we return to the Lord. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? Please join together in this prayer of dedication. Gracious and abundant God, like the birds of the air, we can trust your provision. Every good thing is a gift from you. You take care of us. Bless us this Thanksgiving, and bless the gifts we bring, that in all we make and say and do, trust may grow, beauty may flourish, generosity may flow, and your name may be praised. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Yes, that's what I want to say after that. Yes, thank you, choir. Our scripture reading today is from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, and they are instructions on worship. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time, and for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
So, have you bought your turkey yet? I got ours almost 2 weeks ago. Last year, I waited too long to buy our turkey and had a hard time trying to find that right size. So I bought ours earlier this year. Hosting is new for us. This is only the second year that we have been able to welcome our extended family into our home to celebrate Thanksgiving. So that also means it will only be the second time that I have been responsible for cooking the turkey. My goal this year is to learn from my mistake last year. You see, everything was going great until I opened the roaster without an oven mitt. I wasn't expecting the steam to rush out, and it burned my hand pretty good. It wasn't bad enough to require an ER visit. A little cool water helped take the sting out, but the good news was that the turkey was fine. And actually, it tasted good, too. So the pressure is on this year to produce another tasty turkey without any injuries. That is the goal for this year. Well, you didn't come to talk turkey, did you? But we do want to talk about being thankful on this Sunday before Thanksgiving. As we have already talked about, many of us have traditions of sharing around the dinner table something we are thankful for. As Christians, we take for granted that our expressions of gratitude are directed toward God. However, Thanksgiving is not necessarily considered a religious holiday. In the United States, it is a national holiday in which people of any religion or no religion celebrate. So it depends on who we are as to whom or what our thankfulness is expressed. I want to ground our gratitude today in our Christian faith. This is not just the Sunday before Thanksgiving. As I mentioned earlier, it is Christ the King Sunday, which marks the pinnacle conclusion of the Christian calendar year. We celebrate that Jesus has taken his seat at the right hand of God. We celebrate the reign of Christ in our lives and over all that is seen and unseen. This is what we proclaim, so I want to lift up some foundational elements that have been revealed to us as a result of Christ's reign in our lives that we are grateful for. As Christians celebrating Thanksgiving, what are we thankful for? Paul, in this first letter to Timothy, who Paul had sent to this young church in Ephesus to guide them in their faith response, instructed the young Timothy on some things that needed addressed. First, Paul directed Timothy to speak and teach against the false teachings that had been shared already in Ephesus. He also encouraged Timothy to speak with authority because, although he was young, his faith was mature and his calling was affirmed by the elders. Then Paul prioritized worship as the first order of faith practice that instructs everything else. Worship is what sets our life in order. It is what puts all things in perspective. Worship orients our way. Worship is a response of gratitude. In Paul's words to Timothy in our reading today, he showed us what the source of our gratefulness is. So Paul began his instruction on worship like this. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Like the early church, we can be selfish in our worship. Our petitions and intercessions are often pleas for ourselves. Paul directs us to see the bigger picture and recognize the scope of the reign of Christ. Christ's reign is all-encompassing, and God, through any means possible, is able to work in and through all people, even those who don't acknowledge God at all. We have to remember we are still residents of this world until Christ returns. So our pleas should be calling for God's character and ways to impact all the earth. Paul connected worship in this way to bringing about realities that we credit to godliness and holiness. In our worship, we can be thankful for a God of justice and peace. This is the God we bow down to and raise our voices with songs of praise. It is God who is able to bring about peace and quiet in the world, working against the evil that is in the world that brings about chaos. Again, it's not just about our lives being peaceful and quiet. It's about every person that walks the earth. And their life experiences, too. We can be thankful that our God can transform hearts and minds to see beyond ourselves, to see the circumstances that people around the world endure with a compassionate heart. And in our worship, we can offer petitions and prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving for all people. So the work of God can flourish all across the globe. God's concern goes beyond the circumstances that all people face in their daily lives. We know this because through God's activity in the world, people's lives are affected. And more of who God is revealed. We are evidence of that. Paul noted the impact of our worship having a global perspective, writing, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." I have a question. How does it make you feel to be able to please the Lord by having concern for everyone? First, I thought to myself, that's amazing. How simple it could be to please the Lord by having concern for everyone. Then I questioned if I was pleasing God, my Savior. Was my heart concerned for all people or just some? If only some, then what am I making the judgment on? Do you see what I'm getting at? We, because of our selfishness in nature, have a tendency to justify who can be disregarded or forgotten. What if God's heart's desire was limited to just some? What if God decided our lives were not of His concern? Well, God is not like us. We can be thankful for a God who loves all people. John 3:16 and 17 reminds us that God's love is extended to all the world when He gave the world Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to the world to save it, not condemn it. It It doesn't matter who we are, where we come from, what we have done or not done. We are pursued by God's love with the intent to save us, to save everyone. God's love isn't limited to just some of us. And for this, we can be thankful. God's heart's desire is to save all people, and thankfully God made a way for all to be saved. Paul affirmed at this writing, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time." In our culture, there is so much attention given to sins, meaning sinful behaviors we recognize and judge that are committed. So much so that we lose sight of the reality that sin, singular sin, permeates all of humanity to the point we can't remove it on our own. Perhaps we can feel like we adjust our behaviors through our own willpower for a while, but we can't remove the sin that resides within our being. We are sinners, and only God can deal with sin. Paul wrote to the Roman church preaching this truth about sin, then declared, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for humanity to remove sin as a barrier between God and us. That has been done for us. God has dealt with sin to provide open access for all people to have an unhindered relationship with the Lord. This is God's plan of salvation for all people through Christ's offering of Himself for our sin. Paul encouraged the Ephesian church, writing, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." To accept this gift, we place our faith in Jesus, our Savior. We can be thankful for a life-giving, eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. Our salvation is so much more than being saved from our sin. It is the restoration of the most amazing relationship humanity can have. We need to appreciate what we have in and through Christ, and express it with gratitude in our lives. Paul accepted the grace offered through Jesus Christ and a specific call on his life, and as a result, he was able to claim, "And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles." Paul experienced God's amazing grace at a critical time in salvation history. He was among the first to be sent by Jesus to share the truth of the gospel. For many years, Paul fulfilled his call to be a teacher of the Gentiles, and his impact for Jesus in the world can't be denied. But he wasn't the only one. In this letter, he encouraged Timothy, who was sent to Ephesus as someone who accepted the grace of Christ and a call to be a witness of the gospel. And because of Timothy's sharing of the good news, others witnessed to their faith. The gospel truth has made its way through the years in this way, generation after generation, until the gospel of Jesus Christ reached us. We can be thankful for all who witness to their faith. This is the way God chose to spread the good news through the church, through you and me. And as we share our faith with this generation, generations in the future will be grateful for us living a life of purpose in the name of Jesus Christ. So friends, as we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, let's remember to be thankful for these foundations of our gratitude as Christians. Be thankful for a God of justice and peace. Be thankful for a God who loves all people. Be thankful for a life-giving eternal relationship with Jesus. And be thankful for the generations witnessing to their faith. With these as our foundation, we will be able to recognize the abundance of blessings that are showered upon us with grace and love, and appropriately return our gift of praise and thanksgiving to the one true God and one mediator, Jesus Christ. So may our hearts be full of gratitude, not just for Thanksgiving Day, but every day. Amen.
Please stand as you are able for our closing hymn, Lead On, O King Eternal, number 580 in your United Methodist hymnal.
We have a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who leads us through all that we experience, especially when we are the ones who are following and leaning on Him. Let Him lead. Go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.